This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Well, Happy New Year. That feels like a really happy new year. I hope you have a really happy new year this year. It's great to be with you. My name is David, and along with Alison, over there, we're the senior pastors here at Leeds Vineyard, and you're very welcome here on the first Sunday of 2022. Awesome. Welcome to those of you who are online as well. It's good to have you with us, joining us this Sunday. So, I had an embarrassing experience on Friday night. I was at a family New Year's Eve thing, and they were doing a quiz. And there were songs, pop songs, and you're meant to recognize them. And I think I got one right. I didn't realize I was quite so culturally ignorant about which songs. And I just, oops. Now, that was a big fail on my part, and I let my partner down in the quiz. One of the songs was a Girls Aloud song. I'd heard of the band, but anyway, sadly, Sarah Harding, who I understand is one of the was one of the Girls Aloud, died last September, and she had a mastectomy a year ago and was interviewed in the Times, and she went to live with her mother because she was told that that would be the last Christmas she would experience, and she said this. She said, "Nothing is certain anymore. I'm just grateful to wake up every day and live my best life because I know just how precious it is." It's a common phrase these days, living your best life, isn't it? I've heard it quite a lot. I don't like it, and I don't know why, but you hear it a lot. Our theme for 2022 is abundant life, life with abundance, life in all its fullness, which is what Jesus told us he came to bring, life in all its fullness. Perhaps how to live our best lives. And followers of Jesus learn that life is sacred and precious, mysterious and powerful and marvelous, brief and yet eternal. And Ivan and Libby were leading us into a place of worship where those things become a little closer and a little bit more real to us. Thank you for leading us. This year, as part of this theme of abundant life, we're going to consider three questions. Question number one is, where did my life come from? Question number two is, how then do I live my life? And question number three is, what happens next? Will my life end? And in exploring that, we're going to look at three foundational Christian truths about God, which answers those questions. Firstly, that I am known. The second truth is that I am loved, and the third truth is that I'm expected. Now, last year, our theme of heart to heart was sort of quite action-oriented. It was, let's go and change the world, let's bring justice and restore relationships. And as I was preparing for this year's theme, I felt the Lord said that for us to learn about a life in all its fullness, abundant life, we need to start with waiting and patience. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, and it's one of many psalms and scriptures that say this, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." That's a really difficult command for me. I'm not good at that. I'm not naturally very good at waiting. Ask Alison. Whenever I do a psychometric test, it nearly always tells me that I treat time as a precious resource. I'm uncomfortable being late. I like to start things immediately. Have you ever loaded up the dishwasher? Thought, right, all done. Pressed go and then found that you've missed something. Ever anybody else done that? Or is that just me? And then you go back and you open the dishwasher and you get a nice splash on your jeans. That's one of the symptoms. Have you ever set off to drive somewhere without checking it on the map and then you get lost and you have to stop and reload your sat-nav? And that's me. You know? Or once, I haven't done this very often because I think I learned my lesson, but I was waiting at the bus stop. Waiting at the bus stop's not a great place for me. And I waited at least a minute, and it hadn't arrived. And so I thought, right, well, I'll set off to the next bus stop and save some money on my ticket. And I marched off down the road, and obviously halfway between the two bus stops, the bus sailed past. That's the sort of way I live my life. Maybe patience comes easily to you. It doesn't for me. But even if you're good at waiting, I'm sure that you're like me in that as you become aware of abundant life, the one the Lord has for you, you want to grasp it with joy and fierce purpose and get on and change the world. The kingdom, let the kingdom come. Let's go. It's a call to action, isn't it? Don't just sit there. Do something. Actually, what I'm learning is, and what I think at the moment is, that a better way to live an abundant life, to live our best life, a great better way to start 2022 is something more like, don't just do something, sit there. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I've learned that this is something that we have to learn and grow in if we want to live life to its fullness. Learning to wait on the Lord, learning to be patient, doesn't come easily, but is an essential characteristic of the kingdom. It's an essential characteristic of becoming a Christian. Patience and learning to wait on the Lord. By the way, if you're here for the first time, great to have you with us. You're very welcome. And I think I spotted Chris. I've never seen him before in person, but I've known him for a couple of years. Welcome. Glad to see you back safely. Let's turn to Colossians 1. So if you want to find that on your machine or in your Bible, and I want to think about this discipline of waiting and this characteristic of patience that sort of go together in some of the ways that we learn to live as followers of Jesus. Why don't you find in Colossians chapter 1? Colossians is a letter Paul wrote to a church he'd never visited. He'd never been there, but it had been planted by one of his trainees. And his letter is a really sort of encouraging training. Let's do this really well. He uses the phrase, let's live lives worthy of the Lord. He's really sort of encouraging them. And he's telling them all about how he's praying for them to really go for it and live life, not just for their best life, but a life worthy of God. And one of the characteristics he keeps returning to several times in the course of this short letter is patience. I want to read one of the bigger chunks with you, just because it sets a context for this prayer for patience. So Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you. So this is one of Paul's big prayers. I mean, Paul prays these big prayers for people. If you think about what he's praying for here, it's a huge prayer. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, fill us with the knowledge of God's will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Wow. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Goodness me. Bearing fruit in every good work. It's a big prayer, isn't this? Growing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power. Ivan was leading us in a prayer about his power according to his glorious might. Verse 11. So that all that stuff, all that big prayer, big encouragement, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Verse 11, so that you may have great endurance and patience. It's not a little thing put off to the side like an extra. This is central to his whole prayer for the church, that you may have patience. Huh? Patience, as we know, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The thing is, when do you get to practice patience? When do you get good at? How do you get good at being patient? When have you found yourself expressing impatience What do you associate with patience? Does anybody want to volunteer at something that they, that an area in which they have to be patient? You'll have to shout. Raising your puppy, dogs, pets, yeah. What other things do we raise that sometimes demand patience? Really? Children? Never had that problem myself. In the car, yes, yes, yes. Who's lost their... Yes, okay, let's not go there with driving. So, this thing about patience, I want to explore about how the Bible instructs us to wait for God, and how I want to think about how that patience works in that environment of waiting for God. Let's see how they go together, these two things. I wonder how you see God, how you see waiting for God patiently in your mind's eye. How do you see that? If you feel like, if you're like me, it feels a bit like waiting at a bus stop. Okay, I've stopped, and I'm in a posture of waiting. Where's God? Look at my watch. You know that play, Waiting for Godot, by Samuel Beckett, where the two gentlemen of the road, Vladimir and Estragon, discuss life, and they've got an awareness that they're waiting for somebody who never turns up. That's sort of... Sometimes that's how I feel about waiting for God. Many, many, many years ago, when I was a thrusting young teenager, and I was in love with this girl. Well, I wasn't in love with her. I didn't really know her. Just saw her from afar. And, I did know her. I knew she went to Lawnswood School, which is just a mile or two up the road. And I worked out eventually, and my home route home from school was up this road. And I worked out that if I stood at Shaw Lane, just the next traffic lights up here, at the right time, their school bus would come past on its way. And I used to stand at Shaw Lane watching the school bus to see if she was on it. And I'm sort of thinking to myself, will you notice me? I'm here. I hope you might get off and come and say hello. Oh, well, maybe tomorrow. Isn't that romantic? I ended up marrying her, Alison, that was. I managed to stop the bus one day. And it's a bit like that, waiting at the bus stop. I think there's a different way of thinking about waiting on the Lord. It's actually, I think, sometimes God is at the bus stop waiting. And God is still, and he's there. And he is waiting for me to ring the bell and get off the bus. He's waiting for me to stop. It's not that I put my life on pause and hope that God turns up, but that when I stop and wait, when I get off the bus, I find God is there before me. Waiting for me. Thought, isn't it? It's not like we have to engineer him turning up. It's like he's waiting right there, right in front of you. If only we'll get off the bus. Growing as a Christian, living an abundant life means deciding to learn to wait and to learn to be patient. How are you doing on that one? We could score each other on patience as a Christian characteristic. Sometimes living life in all its fullness means getting off the bus. It means pausing the journey. I've got to get to my destination. I've got stuff to do, but not right now. I'm going to step away from that. Putting aside distractions and agendas, the things that need to be done, the calls that need to be made, the emails that need to be answered. No, they can wait. Forgetting about resolutions that need to be kept or box sets that need to be watched. Another time for that. I think part of this is, the way we struggle with this is because of the FOMO, the fear of missing out. It's a sort of It's living in an Instagram world where we feel if we don't attend to how we're doing and what our this best life looks like, we'll fail, we'll miss it. Or maybe we're in work or business and success and an abundant life looks like hitting targets and working harder and doing longer hours. Or maybe it's something to do with some other form of performance of our kids at school or whatever. And it's sometimes easier just to keep on going with the routine of things, letting the busyness and the noise of life just carry us along. 2 years ago, we looked at Follow Me as a theme for the year, and we extended that into this last year in the context of lockdown, thinking about taking time to... There were several things I repeatedly encourage you to do, was to eat well and to sleep well and to take 10 minutes of time a day with Jesus, to have your Sabbath, your day a week, to turn notifications off on your phone, just to attend to these types of things, to get us into a rhythm and a routine of being able to fall into the presence of God who's waiting for us. These types of habits, they're not religious in themselves, they're things that will help us wait. And if you haven't been able to do them, you may find waiting on God more difficult. For those of us for whom Jesus is the Lord of our lives, we need to learn to foster spiritual practices, habits, which means regularly stepping off the bus. It means waiting and putting God and my relationship with Him first. So that's perhaps we could stop there and just say abundant life means getting off the bus and finding a still place where Jesus is. There are different ways of doing that. I mean, and if we had time, I'd get you to feedback different ways, but talk to your friends and people in your small group. You know, so for me, worship music helps me. I get into a place where I just listen to the music. It doesn't really matter how good the music is. It's more stuff that's pointing me towards Jesus. I didn't do this for a long time, but latterly, it's during lockdown and walking a lot, I've started using audio Bible and listening to the Bible. And I know the Bible reasonably well, having studied it for many, many years, but hearing somebody speak it to me rather than me reading it has changed many things about the way I understand it, and that helps me to spend time with Jesus and hearing Him speak to me. Because I'm so appalling at sitting still, I actually have to do things like setting a timer on my phone, you know, a 5-10 minute timer, and say, right, I will not stand up until that beep's gone, and try and be holy for 5 minutes. Or 10 minutes. And God is gracious in that, and He allows me moments with Him, even though my mind wanders off and stuff. But it sort of gives me a discipline. Or lighting a candle, because a candle, you know, it's got so many resonances in what it is, and light of the world, and the power that keeps coming, and all sorts of things, and it focuses. Or it's very helpful to have a favorite seat, or a favorite time of the day, a favorite place where you can be for 10 minutes. Maybe a favorite cup of coffee, or learning a memory verse and being able to repeat it to yourself in quiet moments, or speaking in another language. Some people call that speaking in tongues. That's a gift of the Spirit. Ask for it if you haven't got it already, because it's really helpful, especially in that five-minute slot. I can't think of what to do. My mind's all over the place. Right, I'll just speak in another language for a while. Or simply turning everything off and resting in silence. The invitation to the 21 days of prayer and fasting is part of that. Particularly, a lot of the teaching we're going to do this year is based in the Gospel of John. So we're going to read a chapter of John each day during the prayer and fasting 21 days, if we can. And I think that will really help you as different people. I think, Helen, you're starting next week teaching on something in John. So it'll be really helpful. Go through John. You might prefer a device, but get your Bible out. And every time as you're reading through John, you read something about life, underline it, highlight it, and you'll see it just comes to life. And we'll be preaching on that much more over the coming weeks. Right, so making time to get off the bus, to wait with God can be difficult, and it's especially difficult. I don't have that much sympathy for those of us who are really busy. with work and stuff, because that's a choice. You can choose a different job, you can choose a different, you know, we make choices. I think I have more sympathy for people who've got lots of children, especially if you're a single parent. And I think God is very gracious for people in that situation. And a moment spent with him is magnified into hours for the rest of us. And if you want ideas, if you're in a place where you're under pressure and you're struggling to find that time, talk to people around you. What do you do? What do you do? And you'll get ideas that you hadn't thought of. Back to Colossians. Right, so verse 11. So we read this, that this prayer, this amazing prayer of Paul's, that we should be strengthened with all power so that you may have great endurance and patience. The Holy Spirit wants to work in you to grow this fruit of patience. It isn't easy. It won't come easy. We need to work at it, and it's happening when we're impatient. That's when we learn. But it is the fruit of an abundant life which is changing and growing, which is becoming more and more like Jesus in character. Let me just finish by looking quickly at the word patience in this particular passage and the way it's, what it means. It's a lovely word, actually, and it's got two sort of dimensions to its meaning. Both sort of coagulate in this verse. The first is that it's got the sense of being able to bear up under provocation. Anybody got children? Bear up under provocation. Or just, if you're married, perhaps. you can think of all sorts of places where you can be provoked. And bearing up under provocation. Or it's also got this other meaning of remaining tranquil. That's a lovely word. Tranquil whilst waiting for an outcome. Two slightly different things which meld together to make this a really lovely word, I think. Provocation first. Proverbs 19:11 says this: a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Do you have any provocation in your life? I see a few nods and the rest of you are lying. I'm really glad that you got that provocation, because that's how you'll learn patience. That's the place to grow that fruit. Here's a chance to grow strong in being able to bear up when provoked, being able to forbear, as another word for it, when people wind you up, to be able to smile when events go against you. The opposite, most people, when they're provoked, they whinge, they complain, they blame, they lash out in anger, they are violent. Then these are not good things. And they certainly don't allow you to enjoy an abundant life. Let me get a little bit personal. Have you ever found yourself saying, "I am offended," or "I take offense at that"? If that's the case, this is something for you to work on. If you've been offended, you've been provoked, it's time to go to the Lord, to wait on him. And we take the provocation to him, and we ask him not so much to take it away, although you can ask for that, but it's more, "Lord, help me to grow in patience under this provocation." The other sort of sense of this word is outcome, is bearing up when an outcome isn't there. James 5, 7-11 says this: "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm." Verse 9, "Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged." Are you waiting for something to happen? Are you waiting for the pandemic to end? God, may this end soon. Are you waiting for Vineyard House to get going, to be restored and put into action? Are you waiting for me to lead the church properly? Well, just perhaps God has given you this to help teach you to grow the fruit of patience? Are you learning to remain tranquil even whilst this outcome that you want is being tested? The opposite is to just stamp your feet, get stressed, blame somebody, leak your frustrations over other people. Being able to remain tranquil in the face of a frustrated outcome is a powerful dimension to Christian patience. So take your desired outcome to Jesus as you wait on the Lord, as it says. You can pray for the outcome you want. I do that all the time. But your more significant prayer is that whilst you wait, Holy Spirit grows patience and tranquility in you. We're nearly out of time. Let me just take a quick detour about Vineyard House, as I've mentioned that. And I'm sure many of you here, those of you who've been around for a while know, if you don't know about it, on the website, Vineyard House, have a look. But for those of you who've been around for a while, for those of you who've given generously, financially to it, I've had to learn patience in many areas of my life, and this is one of the main ones. It's an outcome I desperately want to see, and I've wanted for a while, is to see the restoration of Vineyard House complete. I know many of you feel the same. And I'm learning that a project of this scale just needs lots of time, and so I'm learning patience. Thank you, Lord. But I'm increasingly excited and expectant about what it'll be like when eventually we have the building restored and functioning. The church family life that we'll enjoy there, the outreach to our community we'll see there, the lonely befriended, the memories made for children and young people. It's going to be a sparkling example of God's kingdom for decades to come. But we have to be patient. This year will be a year of some more planning and some fundraising and some preparation. Work behind the scenes, architects and business consultants and such like. With the Lord's help, if it all goes well this year, then you may see the work done to restore the buildings in 2023 and be open fully in 2024, which seems like a million years away to somebody like me. In the meantime, we'll do as much as we can in the building, make things happen there in the bits that we can use, and we will learn patience. Yes, brothers and sisters? Oh, good. So, the context for Paul's prayer for us to grow patience is this sort of sense of developing a muscular, fruitful, enduring, holding on, disciplined, committed, growing, joy-filled, hope-filled, expectant faith, where you are strong enough to be able to wait and become patient. And I'm excited about each of you discovering God's abundant life starting here in this year. I believe God is going to grow us as we learn that we are known and loved and expected. And as we discover what our best life, what our abundant life can be. In 2022, the Holy Spirit is again going to intervene in miraculous ways, brothers and sisters. We're going to see people come to know Jesus. We're going to see relationships restored and sicknesses healed. We're going to see those who are bound set free. We're going to see the lonely placed in family. We're going to worship the King together, grow in faith together. We're going to pray for revival together. We're going to extend the kingdom together. And we're going to enjoy growing together as we learn to wait patiently on the Lord. Amen. Let's pray into that, shall we? Why don't you stand? If you're in line, we can't tell if you're standing or not. You don't have to stand. I mean, you've been sitting for ages and it'll stretch your legs. And it makes for a quicker exit. If you're at home, do join in with this. I want to wait on the Lord for a moment and to invite the Holy Spirit to come and ask him to show us what it means for us individually. How are you going to learn to wait? When I say, come Holy Spirit, some people say, why do you say come Holy Spirit? It's already here. It's, I don't know, have you ever got in a shower and you turn the shower and you got wet and then you turn it off? You might do that. I leave it on because I want more. I like it. More water, please. And that's what we're saying. More of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall on us more and more. Show us, speak to us. Show us where we need to wait, how we need to learn patience. Holy Spirit, would you come? How are we to wait? Lord, I pray right now that you will, for those who are struggling in this area, that you will open up a window into something they hadn't thought about before, a way of waiting for you, Jesus, getting off the bus at your bus stop. Would you reveal to them right now some new way of waiting on you? And as a sort of starter, let's just ask the Lord to show you where it is perhaps that you have a provocation in your life, or where perhaps you have something delayed, an output that's delayed. And this is the key point for you to engage with and learn patience and learn to go to him with those things. Lord, I ask you to reveal those areas of provocation, those delayed outputs. Would you reveal those now to your people? Come, Holy Spirit. As I prayed that, there were some specific things that people heard, or light was shone on some specific things. We hadn't really thought about it before, but that's your provocation. That's your delayed output, which for you to deal with and to go to Jesus with. And you can't do it now, it's too busy, but on your own, when you have some time, go to him with that and ask him to show you how you can learn patience in those things. I bless your presence here, Lord. Bless your presence.